Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
In the last episode, we studied what Christ taught about the subject of being born again. And we looked back at the account in John 3 where Jesus Christ was explaining this to Nicodemus. And in doing so, we briefly touched on the fact that before being born again, which is actually being born of the Spirit by resurrection from the dead, and you can go back and study that if you missed that program. We also, in studying that, we touched on the point that before you can be born again, you must be begotten of the Spirit. Now, when does that take place, and how does it take place? Well, it all begins with baptism. In fact, baptism is required in order to receive salvation. And we can prove those statements to you, and we'll do so here in this program. But also we can send you more literature to do so as well. For the purposes of this episode, let's look more closely into this subject of baptism. If we turn to Acts chapter 2, we'll see that this is after Jesus Christ had completed his earthly ministry. He had already died and paid the penalty for our sins. He had already been resurrected. He had already been born again and born again by a resurrection from the dead, born of the Spirit, and ascended to heaven. But the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to the disciples and to the followers of Jesus Christ at this time. So in this account, we come to what happened on the day of Pentecost, the very first Pentecost, after Jesus Christ had been crucified. And here Peter was preaching a sermon on this great holy day of God. And again, now that's another subject, but you need to think, if the law is done away with, if the holy days are all done away with, well, why were the disciples keeping this day after Jesus Christ had died and been crucified and had already been resurrected and ascended to heaven? But that's another subject we'll get into in time. The point is here, Jesus Christ had already died and he had been born again, but the Holy Spirit had not come to the disciples yet, and he had told them to wait in Jerusalem and they would receive the Holy Spirit. And that happened in the beginning of this chapter here in Acts chapter 2. Now then, Peter is preaching a sermon on this great holy day of God, and thousands of people were there listening, and they were pricked in their hearts when they heard this message, and they knew it was the truth. They knew that what they were hearing was the truth of God. And they realized that they needed to act on what they were hearing and act on what they were understanding. Verse 37 here of Acts chapter 2 then, it says this: now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. You see, they knew that this was something special and that they were understanding something that they had never understood before, and they needed to act on what they were hearing and act on this new understanding. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, he gives them some very clear instructions here. They were pricked in their heart when they heard this message, and they knew that it was the truth of God, and they knew that they needed to act on what they were hearing and on what they were understanding. And they asked Peter, well, what do we do now? And he said, repent. The exact same thing Jesus Christ said when he began his earthly ministry. You can look that up in Mark chapter 1. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Now we do have to repent. We do have to believe the gospel. And now here Peter says, now look, you repent and then you get baptized, every one of you. And when you do that, you'll have a minister that lays hands on you and you can receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. So here you can see that water baptism is required in order to be saved, and there are conditions. And these conditions are the exact same conditions that Jesus Christ gave at the very beginning of his ministry. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Now, you can't be properly baptized without meeting these conditions first. So you can see, well, you can't baptize babies, and babies can't repent, and they don't have the maturity or the understanding, the mind capacity to do that at that age. They can't really believe. They don't really have that ability either. And so you can't validly baptize babies or any others, for that matter, that have not met these conditions. To be properly baptized, you must first repent and believe. What actually is happening when you are baptized and you've repented, you have believed, and then you get baptized and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? And here's what Herbert W. Armstrong wrote in explaining the significance of these verses. Quote, "Once these conditions are complied with, God stands bound by a promise to put within the repentant believer his Spirit, which means his love, faith, understanding, gentleness and goodness, power, etc." There he's referencing the fruits of God's Holy Spirit spelled out in Galatians 5. Going on with this quote, "And God puts his attitude of mind in the believer, the spirit of a sound mind, his very life, the impregnation and begettal of eternal life, and the very character of God. The Holy Spirit in one changes one," end quote. So this is the point when one is begotten of the Spirit. And it's not just because Mr. Armstrong said so. We can prove that from the Bible. But this is the point when one is begotten of the Spirit. And then, of course, you go on and you grow in grace and knowledge inside the church, inside the mother of us all, the spiritual mother of us all, as Paul wrote to the Galatians. That's what the church is. And we grow inside the mother as a little begotten baby inside the mother's womb grows until it's able to be born. So you're begotten, you grow in grace and knowledge inside of the church, eventually leading to being born again by a resurrection from the dead. And notice this verse that backs up and proves what Mr. Armstrong just wrote there, 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." So God is the one who is behind all of this. And notice verse 22 then, "who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." And that's right in the mind. God has given the earnest of his Spirit right inside of our minds. The word for earnest here in the Strong's Concordance is number 728. And it means a pledge. That is part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest, the earnest, or the down payment, if you will. That's what it's talking about. And this is when you are begotten of the Spirit, still waiting to be born of the Spirit. But here is the down payment. Here's the earnest. Here's the pledge. And then you grow until eventually you are born again. But it begins at this point, and it's equivalent to a physical begettal and then waiting to grow inside the mother's womb until birth. We receive God's Holy Spirit at this point. It's the down payment of being born again, of being born fully of the Spirit. And that occurs, of course, by resurrection from the dead, as Romans 1 verse 4 says. Colossians 1 says the same thing. And remember what Christ told Nicodemus in John 3. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So you can see why water baptism is in fact so essential to salvation. And Peter here gives clear instructions that this is what God expects of us. This is what we are commanded to do. But do you know Jesus Christ himself also commanded this? Jesus Christ also commanded that you be baptized. Mark chapter 16 Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is that same message, that good news proclamation that Jesus Christ brought from his Father. It's a message about the kingdom of God. And then verse 16 reads, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned or shall be condemned. Now, you got to keep in mind what the true message, the true gospel message is that Jesus Christ brought from his Father. And he was a divine messenger. He brought a divine message. It's about the government of God, the family of God, the kingdom of God. He preached that continually. He told his disciples to continue preaching that. And he says also here that it is necessary to believe to be saved. And he also said it's necessary to be baptized. Now, you must be baptized. Jesus Christ himself said so. Matthew 28, here again, here are some very clear instructions from Jesus Christ himself commanding baptism. Verse 19, now this is after Jesus Christ had died and was resurrected and was with his disciples, and he gives these very specific instructions, and among them he is commanding baptism. Verse 19, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in, or as it should read, into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, you see, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You see, there's obedience involved, there's belief involved, there's repentance involved, and baptism is instructed here and is commanded here by Jesus Christ. Go you therefore and teach all nations, he said, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3 KPCG. And online, our live stream is at kpcg.fm. The literature for today's program is the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Go ahead and enroll in that today. You can do that free at thetrumpet.com. Believe it or not, the Bible was written for our day. This generation, no book is as up-to-date as the Bible. It explains the causes of present world conditions. It reveals what's ahead in the next few years. In its pages are the solutions to every problem we face in life, from personal and family relationships to national economics and foreign policy. You can understand your Bible. The Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Enroll in it today. It's free, and you can enroll at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're discussing the subject of water baptism. It is the point where we actually are begotten of God, and we begin that process of growing all the way up to the point of being born again, eventually born of the Spirit. Now, as we begin the second half of this episode, let's talk a little bit about the proper form or the proper mode of baptism. Most people are very confused about how to be baptized. Some people or some organizations don't do it at all. Some people say, well, it makes no difference whether you are baptized or whether you're not. Now, we proved that that's not the case in the first half of the program. But then others say, well, okay, you have to be baptized, but it makes no difference how you're baptized. You can be sprinkled with water. You can have water just poured over you. Some people insist that there must be a complete and total immersion. But what does the Bible say about this? Does it matter how you are baptized? Well, it certainly does, and we'll get into some biblical examples to prove how it should be done. But the first place to begin is just looking at the word baptize itself. The English word baptize is translated from the Greek word baptizo, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. The definition of that Greek word, which is what the New Testament was primarily written in, the definition of that word is immerse. It means to plunge into, to put into. So we're not talking about pouring something over you. We're not talking about sprinkling something over you. We're talking about you being plunged into or put into or immersed into something, in this case, water. The word in Greek for sprinkle, if you were to sprinkle water over someone, is that baptism? Well, baptizo means to immerse. The Greek word for sprinkle is rentizo, so that would have been the word used by Peter and by Jesus Christ, if that's what was intended. The Greek word chio, C-H-E-O in the Greek, that's the word that means to pour. So sprinkling is not baptizing. Pouring is not baptizing. Even by the meaning and the definition of the words, you can see that that's not baptizing. And so we can understand even just from this that baptism is a total immersion in water. Now, not only do the meaning of these words prove this fact, also the examples in the Bible proves this as well. Notice in John 3, we'll pick this up in verse 23. Well, we'll just read that one verse. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, near to Salem or to Jerusalem. And why was he baptizing there? Because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And again, remember what word was written? They came and were immersed. And why did he do it there at this location? Because there was much water. John baptized in this area because much water was there. Now, he wouldn't have needed much water if all he was going to do was sprinkle someone or pour a little water over their head. But he baptized there. He immersed people there because there was much water. And you certainly can't immerse someone unless you have much water. Another example in the Bible is found over in Acts chapter 8. Here, Philip is teaching a man about God's truth. This man was the famous Ethiopian eunuch. You've probably read this account or certainly heard about it. But this eunuch was studying the writings of Isaiah, and Philip asked him if he understood what he was reading. And this man answered by saying, "Well, how can I except some man guide me?" You can see that in verses 30 and 31 here of Acts chapter 8. What a beautiful teachable spirit. What a beautiful attitude. What a humble, repentant spirit he had. Now, you see, someone does have to come to that point to where they repent. You have to have that kind of a repentant, teachable, obedient attitude. And then God can really work with a person who thinks like that. Now, if you'll look down at verse 36, if you have your Bibles with you, notice this, verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?" Now, he didn't say this when there wasn't water around. He said it when there was water around. And Philip said, "If you believe," you see, we already saw that attitude of repentance and wanting to be taught, wanting to obey, wanting to change. And he says, "Well, what's hindering me now? I've got that repentant attitude. Here's plenty of water." And he says, "Now, what's keeping me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot, verse 38, to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. So both Philip and the eunuch went into the water. Now, there was no reason for Philip to go down into the water except for that there was no other way he could plunge the eunuch into the river or into the water. And then verse 39 shows that they came up out of the water. So if all that was required was a little bit of water to pour over his head or to sprinkle, well, they certainly wouldn't have gone through this. So again, we have examples from the Bible that can answer these questions for us. Mark chapter 1, here's another example that we can turn to, and this is a very important example. It's the example of Jesus Christ himself being baptized. Mark chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 4. John, and talking about John the Baptist, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized by him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. So again, you see that there needed to be lots of water. He wasn't sprinkling people or pouring water over their heads. They were getting in the Jordan River and being baptized. Now then, verse 9, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And straightway coming up out of the water, so he didn't take water and just pour it over his head out of the Jordan River. Jesus Christ went into the river and he was baptized. He was immersed into the water. And then straightway coming up out of the water, he received God's Holy Spirit. And they heard a voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So he was put down into the water. Jesus Christ was, and he set the example for us. He was baptized. He was put into the water, or else he could not have come up out of the water. And he did set the example for us here. There was no other purpose for him to be baptized. And look, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says he set us an example in all things that we should follow in his steps. And if he had committed no sins to be repented of, and yet he was baptized anyway, obviously setting the example, not just giving us instructions, but setting the example that we should be baptized. We should follow in his steps. Now let's talk about here before we conclude, what baptism symbolizes. What does it picture and what does it mean? Why does God have us do this? Well, baptism actually pictures a death, a burial, and a resurrection. It pictures us rising up from a grave, rising up out of that watery grave. And think about what a grave water is. If you're immersed totally into water and if you stay there too long, that's going to become a grave. So it's a very apt symbol there for us to go into. Sprinkling or pouring could never picture a burial, but total immersion in water can. And obviously that's what the words mean. Obviously that's what we're instructed to do. That's what the examples in the Bible are. And that's the example of what Jesus Christ himself did as well. And we should follow in his steps. Just to prove what I just told you about baptism symbolizing a death, a burial, and a resurrection to a new way of life, now let's look at a couple of verses, a couple of passages, Colossians chapter 2, and we'll pick it up here in verse 9. "For in him," talking about Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and powers." And verse 11, "in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." And now this is getting into that repentant spirit that that is required before baptism, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And now verse 12, "buried with him in baptism, in which also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead." So obviously here, when is it that we are buried with him? Well, we're buried with him in baptism. That's what this is all about. We're buried with Jesus Christ in baptism. Romans chapter 6. Now, you need to get into this subject more deeply, and we have the literature to help you to understand that. Make sure you do order the literature that we offer every program, and it can help you to study into this and learn it even more thoroughly. Chapter 6 of the book of Romans, we'll read, picking it up here in verse 3. Know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. You see, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe any man. You just believe your Bible. This is what God's word says, the symbolism of baptism, what it's all about. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So again, you see, baptism symbolizes a death, a burial, a resurrection, coming up to a newness of life. This shows that we're picturing the death of our own past sinful lives and the burial of that sinning self and the coming up out of this watery grave, symbolically picturing a changed person resurrected to a new righteous spiritual life where you allow Jesus Christ to live in you through the power of God's Holy Spirit, and you actually have the begettal of eternal life, the earnest, the down payment that eventually will lead to being born immortal, born again of the Spirit. Here again is what Mr. Armstrong had to say about this. Quote, going down into the water pictures the death of Christ and of the old self. Burial in the water pictures the burial of Christ and the old self. Coming up out of the water pictures Christ's resurrection and a spiritually resurrected person walking henceforth in newness of life. So the Bible is very clear here. When we're baptized, we are expressing our faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We are accepting his death on our behalf. Also, it shows our repentance of our old way of living, contrary to the laws and the ways of God, and burying that old way. Then we rise up out of that watery grave to live a new way of life. What deep meaning there is in this ordinance of God. How wise and how wonderful God is to teach us about this, to command that we participate in this ordinance. And if you need help, like the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, keep listening to this radio station. After all, like he said, well, how can you understand these things unless someone teaches it to us? And so if you need help understanding this, keep listening to this radio station. Keep going to thetrumpet.com. Keep studying the literature that we offer you for free. Keep studying the correspondence course. And of course, you can always call us and you can speak personally with a true minister of Jesus Christ. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.